Imagine my surprise when I opened up Axios, I think this was last week, and read a story that was actually good. That's a little bit unfair, but I'm not the biggest fan of the publication, and I was a little surprised to see a story that I thought was excellent. And the story was this. It was about the fact that establishment Democrats are having a hard time beating back progressive challengers, and that part of their hard time is that they lack ideas. Progressive challengers, whether they're affiliated with the Democratic Socialists of America or not, have a simple list of things they want to get done. Medicare for all. Expanding the social safety net for more Americans. Affordable college. Affordable housing. And ending military aid to Israel. Very simple, easy to repeat, easy to work in to all kinds of different appeals. Establishment Democrats, the more moderate Democrats, are having trouble articulating something similar. What is it that they want to accomplish? What is their policy program? The caricature is that it's often a complicated mix of marginal policies, but it doesn't have to be. You can imagine a more moderate Democrat saying, I'm not sure that I support Medicare for all, or I'm not sure that that's workable, but I do support Medicaid for children. I do support a Medicare buy-in. I do support a public option, right? You can imagine that approach, but you don't really see it. And what the Axios article correctly identifies, that there is this dearth of ideas that is hindering establishment Democrats as they try to make appeals to voters. You can no longer make an appeal on the basis of simply, we'll be competent, we'll be the workhorses, not the show horses. That's in part because many voters feel that they haven't been workhorses, that they haven't really done much of anything. Again, I think this is an astute observation and something establishment Democrats should take very seriously. And I want to offer some suggestions, taking seriously as well the fact that people have sincere opposition to the most expansive programs imaginable. That it isn't just them having been bought by donors, they're not just corrupt, people genuinely disagree. And so if you are a more moderate Democrat, a more centrist Democrat, who genuinely disagrees with some of the big progressive policy proposals, but who needs a Mamdani-style simple list, three or four things that you'll do if elected, here are some of my ideas that are also responsive to where the public is and also responsive to where the politics are right now. Because the other challenge that Democrats are having is how to find places where they can break up parts of the Republican coalition. Trump has done a lot of that work by simply being so unpopular. But it's still important to look for wedge issues, places that shear off voters from Republican politicians, that fracture Republican politicians from their donor class. So here are my thoughts on this. The first, when it comes to a kind of program that establishment Democrats could try to provide, is one that centers entirely on accountability, or largely on accountability. This is what John Ossoff is doing in Georgia. He's promising he'll work on affordability, but the centerpiece of his campaign is corruption and accountability. And it's tying corruption to questions of affordability and the cost of living, saying that because the administration's so corrupt, therefore you are having a harder time affording your groceries. That because lobbyists and donors have bought our politics, therefore you are having a harder time affording a home, getting a decent job, sending your kid to college.
The entire political system is just overrun by outside money. Members of Congress live in fear of these super PACs. It's not just Elon. Senators get threatened with $5, $25, $50 million of opposition over individual votes on a whole range of issues. And see, this is why things don't work for ordinary people. It's not because of trans kids or woke college students. It's not because of our new arch enemy, Canada. The corruption is why you pay a fortune for prescriptions. The corruption is why your insurance claim keeps getting denied. The corruption is why hedge funds get to buy up all the houses in your neighborhood and Congress doesn't do anything about it.
The fact that Ossoff is well ahead of his competitor, I think, is a testament to the success of this approach, and it's something that other moderate liberal Democrats like Ossoff can do. They may not necessarily have his charisma and good looks, but they could still use the message. Corruption and accountability are things that voters want to hear about. People are angry about these things. They're angry about the fact that the president spends so much more time trying to sell stocks and make billions than he is actually doing anything for the country. They're angry about the fact that the president's inattentiveness to the state of ordinary people reflects itself in his foreign policy choices, his trade war with Canada, and his war with Iran. So leverage that. Promise that if elected, we will pursue accountability against the president. We will deal with his corruption. We will investigate his corruption. We will stop him from giving your money away to rich tax cheats and force him to spend it on helping ordinary people. Now, what this is going to run into, of course, and we discussed this earlier this week, are the Democrats in Congress who are very nervous and skittish and worried about starting a fight. They don't want to seem like they're just there to make noise, to make a splash. But the fact of the matter is that for the next 2 years, the job is going to be making noise. And moreover, this is part of politics. This is part of actually building out a governing agenda, building out a governing majority, showing the broad public the problems in as dramatic a fashion as possible, capturing attention of the public and the media, and using it to prosecute a case against the administration and to build a case for keeping you in power for another 2 years. So there is an agenda item, or at least one. You could break it up into several, I think. As for wedge issues, well, this one's very simple. Data centers and flock cameras. There hasn't been a ton of polling about either, but it's clear from the polling that exists and simply from just observing the world around you that voters hate these things. They hate them. They hate data centers. They hate the idea of these buildings. And they don't like flock cameras and the idea of this AI-driven surveillance. What's more, the Trump administration has gone all in on AI, all in on its Silicon Valley backers. It is committed to their material and political interests. So you have the makings of a wedge issue. Make data centers the issue. Make flock cameras pledge to put a moratorium on the building of new data centers, to ban the use of flock cameras, break off the parts of the Republican coalition that are wary of big tech and the ones that have genuinely more libertarian sensibilities, and put a wedge between Republican politicians and their donors who support these things. Now, it's worth saying that the facts of the data center thing are somewhat more complicated, right? That data centers have existed for a long time. They're part of the infrastructure of the internet. They exist in many places and are always obvious. That relative to, say, agriculture, their water usage is not that dramatic. But even still, there are these major issues here, the extent to which AI companies in particular are building large polluting data centers and plopping them in areas where people are often more marginalized and have less political power. That's a serious issue. The fact that this is a light industrial use, it doesn't provide many jobs, so communities might be absorbing the impact of pollution without the jobs to show for it. That's an issue. And there are other very legitimate ones. I just want to at least nod to a little bit of the nuance here, because I think it's important just for the sake of our discussion here. As far as politics goes here, feel free to be a demagogue on this. Feel free to rail against it. Don't worry about the nuance. Not a time for nuance in the politics here. It's an opportunity to drive a wedge among Republicans, and Democrats should take it. And they shouldn't be held off by potential donors or strategists or folks who really want to get that Silicon Valley money and who are willing to embrace a somewhat unpopular stance for the sake of that support. There is a theory of politics going around called popularism. And if popularism means anything, it should mean getting on the right side of the public on the most highly salient issues. And data centers and flock cameras are very, very salient. So those are my recommendations for those Democrats who have a sincere opposition to very big, expansive programs, but who still need something to sell to the public. I would suggest that maybe that sincere opposition is misplaced. That these big programs are part of the heritage of the Democratic Party going back to the New Deal. And rather than reject them, one should look for ways to find a compromise with their more progressive colleagues. I think that's the better approach. But in any case, corruption, accountability, data centers, flawed cameras, these are issues on the table that the public is really responding to. And really any Democrat, moderate, establishment, progressive, whomever, can pick them up and utilize them in a campaign. And I think they should. As always, thanks for watching. Let me know what you think, and I'll see you next time.